It's wonderful. Well, turn your Bibles this morning to, let's see. That doesn't sound good, does it? Where are we going here? look in Jeremiah chapter 6, first of all. And this morning I want to give you a little something to, if you're not saved here this morning, to really examine yourselves. But the verse that we're going to really look at, this is just to start it. The verse we're really going to go to is in 2 Corinthians, but I want to get a definition for a word in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30. This is a definition of a word that's going to show up in the New Testament. Paul's going to use repeatedly. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 30. And this morning, two things. If you're not saved, I want to see you get saved this morning. If you are saved, it's an opportunity to examine yourself. And look in this Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30. Let's get a definition for the word reprobate. The Bible says in Jeremiah 6, 30, "Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them." All right, the definition for the word reprobate in the Bible means to be rejected by God. All right, you got that? It means to be rejected by God. Turn over here to 2 Corinthians, and this is where we're going to preach from. We may get you to look at a couple others while we're preaching, but look in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 5, and keep that definition in mind. Reprobate means rejected by God. 2 Corinthians 13, 5, the Bible says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Now, what's interesting about this is it's directed to a church. It's directed to a bunch of people who are showing up, and they're part of a congregation. And Paul says, examine yourselves. Now, the temptation this morning is going to be this. And I don't want you to fall into this temptation. Temptation this morning is going to be to listen to what we're going to talk about and to start examining other people. That's not what he said to do. He said, examine you. And there are four things, and this isn't how to prove someone else's salvation. There are four indicators in the New Testament that someone has been rejected by God. Now, Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever believeth not is condemned already." You are already, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you are rejected by God. The reason this is, and I'll give you the illustration and then we'll go into this, is this. He says at the end of verse 5, "Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." What God is looking for is when he looks in you, he is looking for his son. And if he can't find his son in you, then you are fully rejected by God. Because the only reason anyone has life is because of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you have life. Well, let me pray. And then I want to preach on four evidences, four rules of thumb, four things in the New Testament to help you examine yourself, whether you be in the faith or whether you be reprobate. But let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a good week of camp, getting us home safe, Lord, it's a blessing to hear the testimonies of the kids, and really a blessing to hear how you've worked. And I pray we wouldn't be the wet towel thrown over the thing to put out the fire, or the water on the fire to put it out, Lord, but we would encourage the work that you've started to do and are doing in the kids. It's a blessing to hear about it. Father, I pray you'd give us wisdom. I pray you'd help us all hear what we need to hear this morning. And I'm preaching to folks who are saved, and hopefully this will be a reminder. And undoubtedly, there are some folks here that are not saved. And this will be an eye-opener to understand what you're looking for. And then hopefully, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for some of the folks here that aren't saved. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I give you a simple story here to start this out, but I think it illustrates the point that we're going to talk about. The other day, I went to the fridge, and I needed milk for coffee or cereal or something like that. Went in there, and I grabbed the gallon of milk, and it was empty. Somebody just put an empty gallon of milk in the fridge. And of course, I'm like, you know, I get a little frustrated when stuff like that happens. It's like, how, you know, the trash can is 2 feet over here. Just, you know, do this, you know. So I reached in there, you know, I grabbed that empty gallon jug, and there's nothing in there. And the problem is, what I was looking for to be in the vessel that I thought held milk didn't hold anything. The same way Paul says, if Christ be in you, unless you be, like he said, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. God the Father looks in the fridge, so to speak, and he doesn't find what he's looking for in the vessel. What he finds is an empty vessel. And the only thing he can do with that vessel is now you put it in the trash. I can't use it. It doesn't help me being empty like this. And so your life is like that. Your life and my life are like that. We are vessels. And when Paul says Jesus Christ is either in you or else, you are reprobate. You're either just an empty gallon jug of milk or empty whatever. That means when God looked at you, he didn't find what he was looking for. And the only thing he's looking for is his Son. The Bible says, he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's what God's looking for. Now in the New Testament, there are four things I'm going to show you this morning that are indicators that Jesus Christ is not in you at all. Now, they're only indicators. I'm not going to say it's how you prove your salvation or how you prove someone else's salvation, but they're indicators that the milk jug is empty. There's nothing there. I'm going to show you these four things, and we may turn to these verses. But the first thing I want to show you is this. Indicators, proofs, ways to test or examine yourself, because Paul says, examine yourselves. So the object this morning is to look at you. Look at you and examine if these four things are happening in your life. The first one is this. Look over here, and I'll tell you what, we'll just read these verses. Look over here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22. Some of you know this verse. If Jesus Christ is in you because he's put his Holy Spirit in you, then you have some kind of relationship with him. You have some kind of relationship with him. Look in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22. The Bible says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wow. These were people doing miracles, This isn't people who are pew sitters. These are people doing things that they thought, or they tagged the name of Jesus onto it, and they were doing things, and they show up before judgment, and Jesus Christ says, "Depart from me. I don't even know who you are." The first thing to examine is this. Is there any relationship to Jesus Christ in your life? Relationship means you spend time with somebody. You don't have a relationship if there's no time spent with the person. You can say, we're married, whatever, but you know, we don't ever see each other. What you're saying is there's no relationship there. If there's no relationship with Jesus Christ, and I don't mean attending church, I don't mean just showing up, I mean that you know Him and He knows you. Because at this point in this verse, these folks show up before the judgment, and Jesus Christ says, I don't even know who you are. You and I have never talked before. You and I have never done anything. I've never worked through you in any way. I've never had any association with you. We didn't spend any time together. I don't even know who you are. Can you imagine hearing that? I mean, can you imagine showing up at the judgment and all of, you know, I talked to somebody the other day at the veterans, it wasn't a parade, but it was like the celebration downtown. And I'm talking to him about a relationship with Jesus Christ, and the response was, well, I'll let God figure that out. Hey, God's already figured it out. There's nothing for Him to figure out. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's nothing there. You have no relationship with life itself. You have no relationship with life Himself. The first way to examine yourself is this: do I have any relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, I understand. Having a relationship takes time and effort, and it's difficult, and it takes priorities and all those things. But if you've when I have a relationship with someone, I hear them talk. I know who they are. I can speak to them, they hear me, I hear them, we have a relationship. I don't just, you know, we don't just show up and meet each other for the first time. We've spent time together. And if you can't say that about you and Jesus Christ, there's no time spent, that's a good indicator that Jesus Christ has never been in here. That's a good indicator that His Spirit has nothing to do with your vessel at all. And that's a good indicator that when you stand before Jesus Christ, if you're going to just say in this life, well, I'll let God figure it out. Hey, He's already figured all that stuff out. He's waiting for you to trust Him and you to make Him a little priority in your life. And if there's no relationship, what's the point? The point is, if there's no relationship, then there is no relationship. And that's a good indicator that you don't know Jesus Christ and He has no idea who you are. You say, well, God knows everything, all that kind of stuff. I understand. I'm not trying to argue all that. What I'm saying is, in a relationship scenario, He doesn't know who you are and you don't know who He is. Look, the people you have relationships with, it, I think you know their names. I think you know how they spend time. I think you know kind of what they do. I think you know how you get together ever so often. You meet, you eat dinner together, you spend time together, you have fun together. That's a relationship. But if you don't have that with Jesus Christ, don't put that off in the future and say, well, it'll all work out in the end. It isn't going to all work out in the end. Your time to have a relationship with Jesus Christ is now. Lest you stand before God and He says, I don't even know who you are. We never ate dinner together. We never went on walks together. I didn't know your name. You didn't know my name. Nothing. The first indicator that someone is reprobate, meaning rejected by God, is there is no relationship with Jesus Christ. What is he saying? He's saying there's nothing that resembles Jesus Christ in you. When God the Father looks at you, what he doesn't see is Jesus Christ. When God the Father looks at you, just like, I'll go to that illustration, I'll probably use it several times in this sermon just because it's a simple illustration. When he looks for that milk in that milk jug and finds out that thing's empty, he doesn't find anything he can use in that vessel because he doesn't find Jesus Christ there at all. You know what you could tell somebody about Jesus Christ if you knew Jesus Christ? You could say, man, Jesus Christ has been so good to me. He has saved my soul. He has led me in the right direction. And every time I've followed his direction, it's been good in my life. You know what that is? That's a relationship. But if you can't say any of those things about Jesus Christ, there's probably not a relationship there. There's probably nothing there. And so the instruction is from Paul is examine yourself. Examine your own life. Where is the relationship with Jesus Christ in your life? I mean, that's a legitimate question. If you guys know each other, where's the relationship? If you guys spend, if you have a relationship, if someday he's going to say, yeah, come on home, well, I've known you for your whole life, come on home, let's spend some time together. If that's going to happen, then he has to know you and you know him. So examine yourselves. The problem would be there's nothing that resembles Jesus Christ in you. And when Paul says how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. The problem is there's no milk in the jug. There's no Jesus Christ in the vessel. Therefore, the vessel is reprobate. It is just reprobate. First thing, first way to examine yourself. Is there a relationship with Jesus Christ at all? Second thing is this. Look over to 2 Timothy and let's read this one. How do you respond to the truth? Ignore it, distracted from it, resist it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. And notice the word. This is the second test, I guess you could say, to examine, to look at yourself. 2 Timothy 3:8, the Bible says this. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. The second test is this, after you look at your own relationship with Jesus Christ, if there even is one. The second test is this, how do you respond to the truth? What do you do when the truth is presented to you? Paul said this, people who are reprobate always resist the truth. There is never a time where they are compatible with the truth. They don't try to line up with the truth. And that's what happens when the vessel is completely empty and void of Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus Christ gets in the vessel, he loves truth. He is truth. And when God looks at that vessel and he says, I can't find my son anywhere in there, it's reprobate. How do you respond to the truth? Examine yourselves. And again, let me say this to you. I mean for this to be a help to you. I'm not trying to be preachy or try to beat you up about any of this stuff. I think it's helpful when Paul says examine yourselves to be able to actually do that. And so the second thing is, do you always resist the truth? If you're saved, you are a new creature in spirit and soon to be in body also. But you are spiritually a child of God and you have a desire to do the truth. I mean, in you, you are a new creature, and that new creature has a desire to do the truth. That's all that new creature has a desire. Now, sometimes the flesh just takes over, and it has a louder voice than the new creature inside of you, the new man. But If your response to the truth is resistance always, that's a good indicator that you are reprobate. Why? Because Jesus Christ is truth, and if there's no truth in you because it keeps being repelled, that's a good indicator that the vessel is just reprobate. If you struggle, put it this way. If you struggle with applying the truth, that's one thing. People do that. Christians struggle with applying the truth. But if you're struggling with what in the world is truth at all, if you're struggling with, I don't even know what the truth is, that means the truth is not in here. You don't have it. Just by your own testimony, you don't have it. That means Jesus Christ, who is truth, isn't in here. And by your own words coming out of your mouth, you don't have the truth. You always resist the truth. Excuses. Well, you know, that may work there, but it doesn't work over here. That may work here. Look, we said it in Sunday school. God isn't going to write any more of this. And he didn't need to consult you and I when he wrote this. He wrote down everything you and I need here. He doesn't need to add anything to it for your life situation. You always resist the truth, excuses, or distractions. Maybe your mind's wandering right now. You don't want to hear this preacher. You don't want to hear what's being talked to you. You know why that is? It isn't because of me. It wouldn't matter who's up here. Your response is to the truth. Your response is this. You're reacting to God's words to you. You always resist the truth. Maybe it's excuses, maybe it's distractions, maybe it's errors. What is Jesus Christ, what's the problem there? The problem is when God looks at that vessel and he looks at you, he didn't find any truth in there. Because you've always resisted it, and so there's no truth in there. And if Jesus Christ is the truth, which he said he is, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, if that truth isn't in there, then it's reprobate. He can't find the milk that he's looking for in the jug. He can't find it in the vessel. It's not there. When God looks at that little vessel, looks at your vessel, and he's looking for something that resembles Jesus Christ in there, he's looking around, nothing there. I can't find the truth. I can't find any relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't find anything in that vessel. What do you do with the vessel? You just put it in the trash. I mean, that's what I had to do with the milk jug. I'm not going to put an empty milk jug back in the fridge. I'm throwing in the trash. You always resist the truth. Third is this. Go over in Titus chapter 1, verse 15. These are ways to examine your own life. Is there a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have any relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you spend any time together? Is there any, do you know who he is? Do you know what he's doing? Do you know anything about him? Does he know anything about you? Secondly, how do you respond to the truth? Are you always resistant to the truth? You're always pushing back on it? You don't want to be confronted by it. You don't want it to be in your face. You want to cover it. You want to hide from it. You want to leave it, get rid of it, suppress it, minimize it. You always resist the truth. Third is this. If in your life everything results in perversion, that's a good indicator that the vessel is reprobate. Now, perversion, I use that as a general term. That just means God set it up one way, and you took the way that God set it up, and you twisted it and perverted that thing. Look at this. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. He says, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess, listen to this, they profess that they know God, But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Wow. You know what he just said in the first part of that verse? Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. There's nothing sacred in their life. Everything that is good that's put in front of a person who is reprobate gets perverted. I'll give you an illustration. God creates marriage. Marriage is a good thing. It's supposed to be a good thing. But that thing gets put in front of somebody who is reprobate and it turns into a horrible disaster. It wasn't meant to be a disaster. It was supposed to be a good thing. It was supposed to be a blessing to each party and a blessing to God. And the Lord put that pure thing in front of you and I, and a vessel that was reprobate, for instance, as an illustration, took something good and perverted that whole thing and made a mess of it. And then you usually blame God for it. Use that as an illustration. God's design for marriage gets perverted. God's design for a family gets perverted. God's design for your eyes get perverted. I mean, He designed your eyes to do a certain thing. He designed your ears to listen to certain things. He designed your mouth to say certain things. But you and I took that good thing and twisted it and made it perverted. We looked at things we shouldn't have looked at. We heard things we shouldn't have heard. We said things we shouldn't have said. What did we do? We became a vessel that was perverted and possibly reprobate. It's a test. It's an examination. If everything good shows up in front of your life that God puts before you becomes perverted and defiled, it's a good indication that the vessel is the problem and not everything else around the vessel. You know, that's what happens when people get in trouble a lot of times, is it's everything happening around me. All this stuff happens around me, and that's why I'm the way I am. I've known folks, and you have too, who have had horrible stories of life. I remember a lady that gave a testimony. I think it was in Corpus one time, but she would be a biblical Canaanite. I mean, she was a Palestinian. She was a Canaanite. And she married a missionary. I don't know, you know, the race it would be called now, but she called it. She said, I would be a Canaanite, like the woman at the well, you know. And her family had been taken from her, killed. I mean, she's just a product of war, killed. The people that killed her family raped her. I mean, and just repeated horrible stories of her life. But you know what? You meet that little woman. She's one of the most joyful people I ever met. You know why? Not because of all the circumstances around. She stopped blaming all the circumstances. She stopped saying it was everybody else's fault that I'm the way I am. And she said, I trust Jesus Christ. I'm going to let Him use my past, whatever's happened to me, and use it for His glory. And she allowed that to happen, and she became a joyful person and not a victim of everything around her. What happens is a vessel that's reprobate, first of all, takes everything that's good around them and turns it into something bad. But then I also notice sometimes they take the bad around them and become a victim of all that stuff. Forgetting Jesus Christ can make something out of it. And you and I, we ought to remember this. This is good for saved folks too. Some of our problems are not what's around us, it's the stuff we put into us. It's the stuff we put in our eyes, it's the stuff we put in our ears, it's the stuff we hang around, and all the drama we're around and all the stuff we're listening to is just feeding the carnal mind. And the carnal mind is a bad thing already. It's already wanting to pervert stuff and defile things. And we just feed it with the music and the things we watch and the drama, and we wonder why our hearts are always in a state of drama and vexation. We've been feeding that stuff. You can find folks on either end. You can find, you know what, and I've got some examples in my mind that, I'll hold them off for maybe another time. But the point is, a reprobate vessel takes anything good and perverts that thing. Takes what your eyes were used for and starts looking at things it shouldn't look at. It takes what your ears were used for and starts listening to things it shouldn't listen to. It perverts everything around it. What does he say? Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. You know what that sounds like to me? Is nothing safe. There's no way I can put this thing in your hands and it can turn out good. If I give you something good, a good gift, you're going to tear it up, you're going to break it, you're going to destroy it. That's a good indicator that you might be reprobate. Does everything in your life result in perversion? Does everything in your life just fall apart and result in perversion? Is there anything good that can God even bless you with anything? What's the point? The point in that, there's nothing that resembles Jesus Christ in you. He creates marriage, He creates friendships, He creates the eyes, the ears, the mouth, He created all those things. But when He looks at all those things, none of those things are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Not a one of them. There's nothing that resembles Jesus Christ in you. So Paul says, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Lastly is this. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7. If there's no correction. You know, when you're probably the same way, when I got a spanking when I was a kid, I knew exactly what it was for. I didn't have to guess. I remember my dad saying one time, and it probably applies more to me now, but I've remembered it ever since he said it. But he was talking about getting speeding tickets. I don't know. I always go back to that. But anyway, he said, yeah, whenever I've gotten a speeding ticket, I've deserved about 10 more of them. I've always thought that, you know. Well, I didn't get the 10 I should have got, so I'll get this one. Point is, I always knew what the problem was. I didn't just get willy-nilly spankings for no reason or get in trouble for no reason. There was always a reason, and I knew the reason. And I knew what I had done wrong, and I knew the punishment for it. Now listen to this verse. If there is no correction in your life, it's a good possibility it's because you're just reprobate. Watch. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. If there's no correction, it's because you're not his child. You know, I try to avoid it as much as I possibly can. Going to Walmart, going to HEB, I hate going shopping. And sometimes you go shopping and you see kids there that if you were their parent, you might do something about that. But since you're not their parent, you know, I don't want to get involved. I'm not going to be here that long. I don't want to mess with it. Don't want to put my foot in that thing. You know what happens? There's no chastisement because I'm not your dad. The same thing applies spiritually to you. If there's no chastisement in your life, it might be because you're not a child of God. And I'm not talking about, sometimes we Christians get the idea, we say things like, you know, we look at all this bad stuff going on and say, well, it's a chastening of God. Look, If you don't know what God's dealing with in your life, I don't know that you could call it chastening, because going back to the spankings in my life, I knew exactly what they were about. And when God chastens you, what he's going to do is he's going to point something out that he's trying to deal with you that he can't deal with because you're not listening to him. And so he may put you on your back. He may do something to say, look, you're going to have to stop this mess. But if you've never had that kind of relationship where God was able to point something out to you and chasten you through it. I'm not talking about just bad stuff happening. Bad stuff happens all the time to everybody. Christians, non-Christians, all. I'm talking about chastening. I'm talking about, you know, as a kid, man, I'm too many instances come to mind, so I can't even begin, you know. I remember one time being called in. My dad called me in, and it was something I had done. And he asked me if I had done it, and I'm pretty sure he knew I had done it. Looking back on it, you know, parents, you probably know, especially moms, they just know what's happening, you know. But I lied. I said, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. It was probably my brother. I mean, Kevin's my brother. I said, I think Kevin did that. Well, of course, the truth comes out. And the point is, I knew exactly why I was in trouble. Not only for the thing I had done, but now I was in trouble for lying and trying to get my brother in trouble. So there's no mystery about it. It isn't just bad things. The belts just came out of the wall and they were just hitting me. I didn't know what was happening to me. No, I knew exactly what was happening to me. And if you don't have a relationship with God like that, where he chastens you and he deals with specific sins in your life that he's trying to weed out, there's a good chance he doesn't deal with you that way because you are just reprobate. The same reason when I go to Walmart, as rarely as it possibly can be, the same reason I don't deal with everybody's children there, I just go, I buy what I'm going to get, and I leave. Why? Because they're not my kids. And I don't want to deal with them. That's the same way God treats some people. You're not my kid. I'm not going to chasten you because you're not my child. I'm not going to deal with you as a child. But that is a scary place to be. If God never deals with you about sin, if he never addresses things in your life and tries to correct error, that is scary. That is scary. Some of the most comforting things that have happened to me in my life, and you guys can probably testify to the same things. So the most comforting things that have happened to me are the correction of God. Why? Because I know God cares about what I'm doing and he cares about me. And so he's trying to weed out the bad stuff. He's trying to guide me on a course. And some of those corrections can be some of the most comforting things. Look back and say, man, I am glad the Lord pointed that thing out. But be careful, because if the Lord doesn't do anything like that for you, it might be because you're reprobate. The rod of correction. If you don't have the rod of correction, it might be because you're reprobate. Four things that would help you examine yourself to see, like Paul said, examine yourself. Christian, it's good to examine yourself about these things. But if you don't have any of these things happen to you, you have no relationship with Jesus Christ, you have no relationship with the truth, you always resist the truth. Everything you're given results in perversion. Or if there's no rod of correction, if those four things are not actively happening in your life, boy, there is a good chance it's just because you're reprobate. When God looks in that vessel, he doesn't find anything of Jesus Christ in there. And so, just like I did with the milk jug, pull out the milk jug, it's empty. It doesn't contain what it's supposed to contain. So it goes into the trash can. Reprobate means rejected. Rejected. The Bible says this: He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Listen, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That means God is looking at people all around the world, but particularly people in here, because we're talking to you. Looking at people in here. Looking for his Son, Jesus Christ, in those people. And if he can't find any resemblance of Jesus Christ anywhere, the point is, it's a good indication that that vessel, you, are reprobate. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What does that mean? That means you are presently rejected by God. You say, well, I don't think that's fair to say that. Well, you tell me what part of Jesus Christ is being exemplified through you. I mean, you don't have to tell me, tell God. I'm not the judge. You say, I don't think it's fair to say the wrath of God is on someone. Look, if you can't find, if God can't find what he created for you for in you, what do you do with it? What do you do with a vessel that isn't useful for anything? No rod of correction, always resist the truth, no relationship with Jesus Christ, and everything results in perversion. You know what that is? That is indicators that the vessel is reprobate. Let me read this to you last time. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. If you think what I'm saying is mean, and I don't mean it to be, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to be hurtful. I'm trying to point out when Paul said examine yourselves, there's a way to do that. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. If you would, bow your heads, close your eyes. Sam comes and plays a little bit. Christians, maybe there's something in those four points that we've highlighted that is convicting to you because Jesus Christ can't be seen in any of those areas. Come on down to the altar if the Lord's done business with you. Come on down to the altar. If you're here without Jesus Christ, meaning you've heard all that, what I said, what we preached, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ has nothing to do with you. If you know that, and you say, I want to know how to get Jesus Christ in me. I want to know how to be saved. Come on down to the altar. We've got a man and a woman that can deal with a man and a woman, whoever comes down here. If what we've said and what you've seen, the Holy Spirit has used to show you Jesus Christ is not in you, please come down to the altar and visit with a lady or a man about salvation in Jesus Christ and how you can know that Jesus Christ is now residing in you. Come on down to the altar. The altar is open. Come on down, do business with the Lord if he's done business with you.